Ever wished you could just hit pause on everything and like teleport to, you know, a place where you've got these ancient temples, but they're like peeking up between skyscrapers?
A traveler's dream.
Right. Well, get ready because today we're diving deep, deep into this super detailed itinerary. 7 days, all through Japan's imperial cities.
Tokyo and Kyoto, two iconic destinations.
And get this, you can experience it all. I'm talking bullet trains, serene tea ceremonies, the whole nine yards for under, wait for it, $5,900.
That's a pretty incredible value when you consider everything that's packed into this itinerary. It really captures those unique contrasts that Japan is so well known for, ancient traditions existing alongside those modern marvels.
Exactly. Okay, so the adventure kicks off in Tokyo, right? And we're spending our first 3 nights at the Park Hotel. They focus on like eco-friendly practices.
Always a good sign. Sustainability is becoming increasingly important, especially in the travel industry.
Totally. Although, get this, the itinerary mentions a scheduled power outage at the hotel.
Interesting. It sounds a little unusual at first, but it likely reflects a commitment to energy conservation. Japan takes those practices pretty seriously. They probably schedule it during low usage hours, and it allows them to offer more competitive rates while still being mindful of their environmental impact.
That's actually pretty clever. Turn it into a positive. Maybe it's a chance to like actually unplug and just appreciate the city lights.
I like it.
Oh, and speaking of those little details, gotta love those little details. The itinerary mentions a small city tax in Tokyo, just a heads up.
Good to know. Those little expenses can sneak up on you. How much are we talking?
Let's see, it says 100 to 200 yen a night, which is, hold on, less than $2.
Okay, so not too bad. Easily factored into the budget.
Exactly. Okay, so day two, this is where things really start hopping. We've got ourselves a private guide who's going to whisk us off on a whirlwind tour of Tokyo's highlights. And get this, we're navigating the city like true locals on their train system.
The trains in Japan are legendary, efficient, punctual, a true marvel of engineering.
No stressful traffic jams for us.
And it's a fantastic way to really experience the rhythm of the city, see how people go about their day. You get those little glimpses into everyday life that you just don't get from a tour bus.
Exactly. All right, so first up, we're getting a glimpse of the Imperial Palace, you know, the residence of Japan's imperial family.
Centuries of history right there.
Now, I know we can only view the buildings from the outside, security and all that.
Of course, of course.
But still, I mean, even from afar, it's got to be impressive, right?
Absolutely. The sheer scale of the grounds alone, the meticulous gardens, they're a testament to the cultural significance of the palace.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a place that represents centuries of tradition.
Yeah.
All right, so next, we're stepping back in time, like way back. We're heading to the Nihonbashi district, which was a major business hub way back in the 17th century.
I can already picture the bustling streets, those traditional
The
shops.
smell of street food wafting through the air.
It's that juxtaposition of old and new that makes Tokyo so captivating.
Totally. Okay, so get ready for this because from the historic streets, we're going straight up, as in
Yeah.
way up. We're ascending the Tokyo Skytree.
Now, this I'm excited about, the tallest structure in all of Japan.
350 meters high. I'd be terrified.
Terrified, but with incredible views. Imagine that panorama, the Imperial Palace Gardens in the distance, the Sumida River winding its way through the city, that futuristic skyline stretching out.
Okay, that's going straight to the top of my must-see list.
And to round off day two, we're ending with a bit of contrast. From the modern marvel of the Skytree to the historic Asakusa District, home to Tokyo's oldest temple.
Yes. Okay, this is the one with the vibrant energy, right? The colorful stalls. I've heard it's got this really lucky aura, too.
It's a fascinating blend of spirituality and, well, just daily life. You can wander through the temple grounds, and then you're right in the heart of this bustling market.
Souvenir time. Okay, so day three of this itinerary, you ready for this? It's like,
Okay.
boom, total shift. We go from those neon lights to the tranquility of Mount Fuji and Lake Ashi.
You know, that's what I call a change of pace. From the urban buzz to the serenity of nature. Gotta love a good contrast.
Right. Talk about the best of both worlds. One day you're navigating those crowded streets, and the next you're cruising on a serene lake. Look,
Yeah.
I can already picture it. Those crystal clear waters, Mount Fuji, reflected on the surface. It's like those images, even though I've never been to Japan, they feel so familiar. You know what I mean? Like those red gates, those torii gates.
Ah, yes, you're thinking of Fushimi Inari Shrine. We'll get there. But first, Mount Fuji. You can't go to Japan and not experience that majesty. It's more than just a mountain, you know? It's a symbol. It's Japan itself. It's got this, like, spiritual presence.
Right, it's iconic. And Lake Ashi, too. Did you know it was actually formed by a volcanic eruption like thousands of years ago.
Really? Wow, that's incredible. Talk about a testament to the power of nature, huh? To create something so peaceful and beautiful from such a powerful event.
Exactly. Okay, so speaking of getting around, day four, we're talking bullet trains. The Shinkans.
The stuff of legends. I mean, these things can hit speeds of over 200 miles per hour. It's mind-boggling.
And yet, they say the ride is incredibly smooth. Like you barely feel a thing. How is that even possible?
It's a testament to their engineering. Japan is really at the forefront of that technology. High speed, but comfortable.
All right, so we hop off this bullet train Zoom, and just like that, we're in Kyoto. A private driver whisks us away to our hotel, which is the, let's see, the Hotel Kanra Kyoto.
Very stylish, modern, but with those traditional Japanese touches. The itinerary even mentions the possibility of connecting rooms, which is always a nice perk, especially if you're traveling with family or a group.
Oh, for sure. Okay, so day five in Kyoto. Get ready for this. It's all about those historical treasures.
Yeah.
And of course, we've got another local expert to guide the way.
You're in good hands. Kyoto was Japan's imperial capital for over 1,000 years, so you can imagine the history embedded in its streets.
Right, we're talking centuries upon centuries. So first on the list, the Kyoto Imperial Palace.
The former residence of the imperial family, up until 1868, I believe.
So much history. Although, it says, like with the palace in Tokyo, we can only admire the architecture and gardens from a distance.
Understandable. Those places are practically sacred, but I've heard even from afar, it's breathtaking. Those gardens, especially, are meticulously designed, like walking through a work of art.
It's amazing how they can create such a sense of peace and tranquility, even in the heart of a bustling city. Speaking of tranquility, next up, the Arashiyama Bamboo Forest.
Ah, now this is a place that truly has to be experienced to be understood. It's almost like stepping into another world. Those towering bamboo stalks, the way the light filters through the leaves, it's just magical.
Magical and photogenic. I can already tell my camera roll is going to be filled with bamboo.
Oh, absolutely. Every angle is a postcard.
Okay, so we've done bamboo, we've done palaces. What's next?
Oh, that's right. The Golden Pavilion. Kinkakuji. It's that one with the golden reflection in the pond, right?
Exactly, an iconic symbol of Kyoto. And its history is just as fascinating. Originally built as a shogun's villa, but later it was transformed into a Zen temple. Okay, so the history is amazing, but also that gold leaf. Like they covered the top two floors entirely in gold leaf.
It's meant to represent Pure Land Buddhism's paradise. Imagine that shimmering in the sunlight.
Okay, seriously, this itinerary, it's like they knew exactly what I wanted to see, the history, the culture, that spirituality.
They've planned it meticulously. And it gets even better. Day five ends with a very special treat, a traditional Japanese tea ceremony.
Oh, I've always wanted to experience one of those. It's so much more than just, drinking tea, right? It's a whole ritual, an art form.
It's about mindfulness, being present in the moment, appreciating those small details, and of course, the matcha tea itself.
And to top it off, we get to wear traditional kimonos. Sign me up.
It's the perfect way to immerse yourself in the culture, a truly authentic experience.
So we've covered Tokyo's trains, but what about Kyoto? Because day six, we're ditching the private drivers and hopping on their public train system.
A fantastic way to observe everyday life, see how the locals navigate their city. I'm a big proponent of using public transportation when you travel.
Me too. It's
Yeah.
all part of the experience. As much as I love those big ticket attractions, sometimes it's those little moments that really stick with you, like riding a local train, seeing people going about their day.
It's those glimpses into the everyday rhythms of a place that make it feel real, you know?
Exactly. Okay, so train ride aside, the main event for day six, those torii gates I mentioned earlier, Fushimi Inari Shrine. We're finally there.
Thousands of those vibrant red gates winding up the mountainside. It's truly a sight to behold. Each one donated by an individual or a business as a way to give thanks to Inari, the Shinto deity of rice and sake.
So it's a spiritual journey too. Like walking through those gates, you're offering thanks, seeking blessings. Wow.
It's a powerful place, very different from the serenity of the bamboo forest or even the grandeur of the Golden Pavilion.
And speaking of different, we're ending day six with another contrast, the Senjusen Jindo Temple.
Home to 1,001 life-size statues of Kanon, the goddess of mercy.
1,001. Okay, that's a lot of statues.
It's meant to be a bit overwhelming. You walk into this massive hall and you're surrounded by these statues, each with its own unique expression. It's a powerful reminder of the interconnectedness of all beings, a testament to that Buddhist belief in compassion and seeking enlightenment.
From bamboo forests to golden temples, to a sea of statues. Kyoto's got it all. I'm exhausted just thinking about it, in a good way.
It's a lot to take in, for sure. This itinerary doesn't let up. But it's designed so thoughtfully, you never feel rushed, even though you're seeing so much each day.
It's all about balance, right? All right, so day 7, sadly, it's our last day. Time to head back home. But before we do, one final treat.
Oh, tell me more.
A private driver whisks us back to the airport. No last-minute scrambles for taxis or figuring out the train system with our luggage.
That's the way to end a trip, stress-free and relaxing. Gives you those last few moments to savor those memories.
Exactly. Okay, but before we get too sentimental, let's talk details. We've covered the wow factor of this itinerary.
Yeah.
But what about the logistics? What's included in this $5,900 price tag? So we've covered all the amazing experiences this trip has to offer, but what's actually included in that price tag? You know, got to break it down for the budget-savvy travelers out there.
Oh, absolutely. And let me tell you, for under $5,900, you get a pretty fantastic deal. We're talking those hand-picked hotels we raved about, breakfast every morning crucial for a full day of exploring, right? And all those private transfers. No need to stress about navigating train stations or hailing taxis. They've got you covered from the moment you land to that bullet train ride and everything in between. Plus, those expert-led tours we talked about, can't forget those. They really enrich the whole experience.
Yeah, it's like they've thought of everything to make this trip as stress-free as possible, so you can just focus on soaking it all in. Which reminds me, what about luggage? Asking for a friend who may or may not be a chronic overpacker. Any hidden luggage fees we need to factor in?
Good question. Always good to clarify. So while the package covers the essentials, accommodation, transfers, those guided tours, there are a few things they don't include. Which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Gives you the flexibility to customize based on your own travel style. So yeah, international flights are separate, obviously. Mm. Any meals beyond breakfast, you know? Got to sample that amazing Japanese cuisine, right? And those small city taxes we mentioned. Oh, and any extra luggage fees. So if you're like your friend and plan on bringing back half of Japan as souvenirs.
Hey, no judgment here.
None at all. But yeah, just something to keep in mind for the budgeting.
Totally. It's all about transparency, right?
Right.
Speaking of which, I was super impressed to see they offer a 20% deposit to secure your spot. And you can even transfer that deposit to a different trip if your plans change.
Now that's peace of mind right there. Life happens, things come up, but knowing you've got that flexibility, it takes away so much of the stress of planning a big trip.
Absolutely. It's like having a safety net for your travel dreams. Well, here we are again, back to reality. Our virtual journey through Japan has come to an end.
From the neon-lit streets of Tokyo to those tranquil temples of Kyoto, we've really gotten a taste of it all, haven't we? The energy of those bustling cities, those ancient traditions, and, of course, that breathtaking natural beauty.
We sipped matcha, virtually, of course.
One day.
One day, exactly. We stood in awe of Mount Fuji's majesty, and we even wandered through those countless red gates, at least in our imaginations. It's been quite the adventure.
It really has. And as you, our listeners, start planning your own Japanese escapades, we'll leave you with this but.
Tokyo's electric energy, or Kyoto's more traditional, serene vibe.
Which one calls to you? Which one will you discover first? Maybe the answer lies somewhere in between those two extremes. And who knows, you might even stumble upon some hidden gems we didn't even mention. That's the beauty of travel, isn't it? The unexpected discoveries. Until next time, happy travels, everyone.